Liebe Zuschauer, liebe Zuschauerinnen.
Dear viewers, dear listeners, the Speaking All Unity, the word of the Universal Creator Spirit. This is the topic of our program series, and we greet you very warmly to the 14th part. We developed this topic bit by bit from the readings of the book with the same title as this program series. It is a cosmic work of teaching and learning from the School of Divine Wisdom based on conversation rounds with Gabriele, the prophetess and emissary of God. Let's briefly look back at our previous readings. We heard about great cosmic correlations. We heard about the development of the spiritual creation of the being, about God, the eternal, who has nothing to do with the institutionally shaped image of God. He is the Father-Mother God, the all-encompassing primordial intelligence, the creator power, which is effective in the whole of infinity through universal principles of the divine law. We also heard about the incorruptible core of being, the all-unity in everyone and in all things. It is the communication principle of infinity. Further programs treated the law of love for God and neighbor, link and be. We received an inkling of what the all communication and all unity mean and what separates us human beings from it. It is the principle of separate, bind, and rule which shows itself in our world as egocentricity, indifference, striving for power, and brutality against people, nature, and animals. We also received many indications and concrete exercises, for example, taking a virtual walk, that help us to very gradually open up the all-unity in us again. Dear fellow people, today it will continue with the next three chapters in our book, and based on some questions and answers, we will learn first to look more deeply into what we have heard and read so far.
Liebe Mitmenschen,
dear fellow people, a question that certainly is of interest to many of you is the following. Through the work on ourselves and through the exercises, we become more peace-loving and peaceful and thus more spiritually consistent, as was stated. We also become much more sensitive and we feel the immeasurable suffering of the animals, the plants, all of Mother Earth even more intensely. How should we cope with this, so that this great woe does not totally oppress us?
Let us listen to the answer from the School of Divine Wisdom. For one thing, we can to some degree cope with this only by praying for those people who torment and torture the animals, who brutally kill them, who keep them in animal ghettos as slaughter animals, who deliver them to the butcher, etc., etc. But in prayer, we should also think of the souls of those people who steal, out of not knowing or weakness, eat the meat of the murdered animals. We should place all these prayers under the protection of the Christ of God. At the same time, depending on our possibilities, we should do everything we can to make a species-appropriate, free life possible for animals until their physical demise, which, especially for animals, is a natural, that is, a totally normal process. The earthly existence, which we people see as an ethically valuable life, we should also grant to the animals and ultimately also to the planet Earth, which is likewise an organism that has its perception and, like us, is a bearer of life. It gives life and fruit, and we human beings may receive.
Another question has to do with taking the virtual walk, which was talked about considerably during the last program. This question is the following. On the virtual walk, we practiced perceiving in ourselves the body of sound of an animal and the life form of a flower. For some, it went better when it was one of our animal brothers or sisters. For others, the plant beings seemed to be closer. Why is this?
To this, we received the following explanation from Gabriele. A picture of the sun and the clouds could be helpful for us here. The clouds cover up the sun's light and cause shadows on the earth. But the sun is shining, whether dark clouds pile up or whether they are lighter. If the cloud cover is scattered, for example, if there are so-called cirrostratus clouds, then the sun shines through the scattered clouds. When the shadows, the clouds, are heavier in one area of the particle structure of our soul, then the communication, for example, in relation to the animal world, is also disturbed. If the particle structure of our soul is lighter in relation to the plant life, then communication with it is closer to us. On the whole, we can determine without doubt that in order to attain the cosmic all communication, there is still much to learn and to do.
Dear fellow people, this applies to all of us, also to those of us who are reading this text. We continue reading. Let us learn to remember again and again that in the very basis of our soul, we human beings are all rich, that is, infinitely rich. Happy the one who grasps this. Let us learn to put order in our world of thoughts. Let us learn to watch our breathing. Let us learn to grow closer to the all unity, so that the picture of life can arise in our cleansed thoughts. For, as stated, a unique treasure is active in the very basis of our soul, the pure being, the all communication. Let us learn what life means. Let us learn to keep calm and disciplined in every situation, in order to master the life on earth and, in this equanimity, to also watch the behavior patterns of our fellow creatures, the animals, and to contemplate and experience nature. Wherever we go, wherever we are, there is always something to learn. May you learn, may we learn to perceive the life, because everything goes in rhythms, in colors, forms, sounds, and fragrances.
In our book to this program, we now come to another further great chapter with the following title, The Covenant of the Eternal with the Animals. The following realization is opened up to the person who fulfills the law of unity, the love for God and neighbor, the link and be, more and more. Only when we human beings have attained the all unity again will there be peace on the earth. Just as God, the Eternal, announced 2,700 years ago through his prophet Isaiah. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
And through his prophet Hosea, God said, also 2,700 years ago, and I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will let them lie down in safety. Dear fellow people, in our time, in the year 1999, the Eternal gave a revelation through his prophetess Gabriele. He made a covenant with the animals and with all of nature and the Mother Earth. Let us listen to a reading of this mighty revelation of God.
The Eternal Spirit, the Creator of infinity, spoke. I gave them a healthy earth. However, they turned the earth into a garbage dump and a breeding ground for illness and disease, pestilence, and much more. Mankind is becoming more and more sick because the earth is not only sick, but hardly viable anymore through the pest man, who unceasingly maltreats and tortures it. The perpetrator of this evil thinks he can become healthy if the right medication is found for him, which is tested on animals in bestial ways in so-called laboratories. Then, so thinks the merciless man, he can continue to live out his mercilessness. The animal farmers who keep animals to slaughter are no better than the bestial people who torture, maltreat, cut up, and do even more to animals in laboratories. Anyone who pens up animals to let them vegetate away in the most cramped spaces, even though the earth offers freedom, will one day experience the same and similar things. According to the law of cause and effect, a person will reap what he sows. And so, every man is the architect of his own fate. Whatever man does to animals, plants, and minerals, that is, to the earth, will also be meted out to him, no matter what medication he takes to escape the effect. Mankind of many generations has maltreated the earth in the cruelest way. It was violated and robbed of its treasures. People interfered and interfere in the water courses, which are the arteries of the earth. They dumped and dumped their trash into the earth's source of life, the oceans. They destroyed and still destroy the earth's protective shield, the atmosphere, and the earth's lungs, the forest. The people have become cannibals. The excesses of cannibalism are interminable. The cannibal man breeds trillions of animals. Day after day, the cannibal man has them driven into slaughterhouses and killed in gruesome ways and means, in order to then consume their flesh, deliciously prepared, of course. Many a one believes animals are a commodity and that he can exploit the earth to increase his bank account. At some point, he will have to recognize that in truth, the larger his bank account grew, the poorer he became. The pathetic creatures who think they could out-trump the Creator will soon have to recognize that Mother Earth no longer obeys them. The earth is now mine, and will do what is my will. This means that the causes, the offenses of human beings against Mother Earth will come at them ever faster as causes. Mankind is gradually reaching the culmination of its doings. The adversary is of the opinion that he can triumph over me via degenerate people who interfere in the life and play the role of creator. He has always fooled himself, and he will also deceive himself this time, because Mother Earth is now mine. Murder and manslaughter are on the banner of many people. The insatiable Moloch man has positioned himself against his own dwelling planet and is thus against everything that lives on the earth. because the people did not accept the love of their Redeemer for people and animals. I have taken the earth back from them, with everything that lives on it, animals, all plant species, and minerals, and place it trustingly in the hands of spirit beings and divine beings of nature, which will very gradually build up the earth again with its animals, plants, and minerals, and guide them toward its recovery. The covenant with the animals has been made. So be it. And God, the Eternal, continued, when spiritually cosmic peaceable people inhabit the earth, I will give the earth to the people again, just as Jesus the Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The animals, plants, elemental forces, the earth, all of nature are a part of life. The kingdom of peace of God will emerge through them, in which it is on earth as it is in heaven.
Liebe Mitmenschen,
dear fellow people, this is how the Eternal Spirit of Infinity spoke in a mighty revelation in the year 1999. We have heard the following. May the one who can grasp it, grasp it, and may the one who wants to leave it, leave it. God is making His word come true. It can be recognized that the Eternal is gradually taking back the animal world and likewise the plant world. What then? What does this mean for us human beings? When we look at the state of mankind and of the earth, then we inevitably think of a vandal who has turned the earth into a battlefield, who upholds the pagan sacrificial cult on water and on land by fishing the global oceans to death, murdering the animals on land, having them murdered, and over again by striving anew to totally overexploit the earth.
Total auszuplündern.
Der Barbar Mensch,
the barbarian man, has literally become a robber and murderer where the earth is concerned, with everything that it bears as human beings, animals, plants, and minerals. Such a person can also be called an earth killer and spiritual illiterate who knows only himself. When the earth takes back what ultimately belongs to it, for example, a person's physical body, then the released soul, which is not of this earth, is a spiritual wreck, which has to first find its way again in the purification planes of the souls in order to build itself up there. At some point, it learns to open up what it ultimately bears within, the free spirit, the All-One, who is its Creator and Heavenly Eternal Father, and it learns that it is spirit of His Spirit.
Dear fellow people, in our book to this program, we now come to a chapter which gives us some indications on how we can better understand the principle of communication, sending and receiving. We continue reading under the following chapter title, The Principle of All Communication Without Technology, Man's Worldly Communication Aids. In a world that is becoming ever coarser, in which the dictate of technology determines the beat of mankind, the finest spiritual divine processes presented may often seem accessible only with difficulty. The majority of mankind has become blunted in regard to the fine principles of the law of life, which are at the basis of all life forms. the coarsening of the five components, the content, for instance, of thoughts and feelings, is also accompanied by a coarsening and brutalization of the living conditions of most people. That is why the words from the origin, from the breadth and depth of life, sound unattainable for many, yes, nearly incomprehensible. And for many a one, it seems impossible to experience this in one's own life. Modern, intellectually shaped people often do not have easy access to what is explained to us from the seven-dimensional world of the eternal being, which also permeates our three-dimensional world. And yet, the present time in particular, with its technical possibilities, offers more illustrative examples for the communication principle of infinity, sending and receiving, than ever before.
Coarse material communication technology is based on transformed down inherent laws, which are nothing more than energies that have become flat. They are aberrations, a three-dimensional, technical and pale reflection of the communication forms of the eternal being, of the infinite light ether, which we frequently read about. How hard it is for us human beings to make ourselves aware of the all communication, and yet everything is based on sending and receiving.
We remember that all life forms and living beings in the life stream of the Creator are linked with each other. They live in the activated all communication of infinity. They don't need to go here and there. By way of their core of being, they are in connection with the entire all, the cosmos. If they want to make contact with a being that may be on another plane of heaven, then with an impulse via the core of being, they send to the being, and in that moment, they are presently and directly connected with this being, at one with each other. We would say that the spirit beings and all life forms are networked with each other via the core of being.
One question is truly appropriate. And we, human beings, where do we stand? What is our sending volume? To where do we send? We human beings present a sad picture in terms of the all communication without technology. And yet, man is so proud of his achievements and in addition, even arrogant.
If spiritual divine circumstances are accessible to us only with difficulty, we could remind ourselves of the million-fold processes of present-day communication technology. One of the many technical possibilities that we take for granted in our daily life, even though just a few decades ago they were considered utopian, are the applications of mobile communications technology. We now take it for granted that by dialing a number in a communication network, we send an impulse via which we will be connected with the mobile phone we dialed. Within the countless possibilities of the mobile communications network, and from every random location, we can now dial a number and thus unerringly establish communication with the desired partner, even in a far distant country.
This comprehensible technical possibility takes place in the coarse material world, and we make use of it without thinking about what inherent laws this technology is based on. The Internet expands this possibility of establishing technical communication in a way that even today is nearly incomprehensible. People can communicate not only with sound. They can also mutually see their faraway conversation partner so as to converse with each other as if they were both in the same place. We accept all this as technical achievements that we take for granted, whereby it is ultimately merely transformed down, we could also say satanically manipulated aberrations of the inherent laws of the eternal being.
And so, it could be a help for our understanding if we were to imagine something like this. Just as the mobile communication network gives every participant the possibility to accurately dial a specific number from countless possibilities of the network, it is similarly possible for the spirit beings, via the core of being, to absolutely and precisely reach another being in all of infinity with absolute precision. The technical possibilities of our time fascinate and captivate many a one. Dear fellow people, may you also feel exactly the same fascination for the wonderful multiplicity, greatness, and subtlety of the communication of the All Unity. With this, a pearl of wisdom of life now opens up for the one who thinks and reads with a heart. It is, man, don't take yourself so seriously. You are greater than you are able to imagine.
A statement that is worth thinking about. Thus far for today to our topic, the Speaking All Unity, the Word of the Universal Creator Spirit. Dear fellow people, over and over again we hear that everything is based on communication, on sending and receiving. In the next program, we will learn more about this, especially about what role the principle of all communication plays in the life of people. For example, what takes place spiritually at the birth of a human child, how the law of all communication goes with a human being during the cycle of his whole life on earth, and how the soul of the human being prepares for its demise. If you would like to, tune in again and continue to learn with us. Until then, all the best and goodbye.